That means something to the sound guy. Well, I'm Doug Thompson, and I can tell you this already from the very beginning of this. I like coming over here. This is a praying church, and I really enjoyed listening to your prayer requests, and that's awesome because you get to hear a lot about people, and I'm going to be bringing somebody in today that he looks a lot like me, but his name's John Marcus. You may or may not have met him or read any of his work. But I'll go get him. He'll be right in.
Can you turn up the sound a little bit?
Is the sound coming through? Let me take the mask off. Does that help you? Okay, good. Well, good morning. My name's John Marcus. And you would not know me by that name, but my name is now known as John Mark. And you have read my readings. They're in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I actually wrote the first gospel. My name is John Marcus, known as John Mark, known as Mark. And I wanted to share with you just a little bit about my story because in the bulletin it says, I saw it all. And I did. I first met Jesus. I was about 15, 16 years of age. And I was a teenager when Jesus started his ministry. And I knew him because I was related to Barnabas. And so I got to be on the fringes of getting to see a number of things. On one trip that Paul and Barnabas went, I got to accompany them. And then when we got ready for the second trip, it didn't work as well. Paul and Barnabas had separated and went different directions. So I had other responsibilities. But let me share this part with you because at this time frame, all of you folks are going through something we went through back in the first century. We had been waiting forever for the Messiah to come. And there was people, I know he's coming, I know him, and there was prayers. Every time there was church, there was prayers for the Messiah to come. And, never thought it would happen, I guess, even though we prayed it. Someday it will happen. But then it happened. It happened in my life frame. And it was absolutely amazing because the same thing would happen if it were you folks who went through what I did. You are all praying now and feeling like we're coming to the end times. God's going to come back. And that's what the feeling is for many, many people. As I talk to people now, they say, God's coming back and it's going to be sooner than later. And you know, back when my friend Doug was a young man, World War II had come to an end. And I remember, and Doug remembers, the old-timers talking about, I just know that this is the end times because 6 million Jews were exterminated during my lifetime. And as you look at that, you'd say, how long? How long before God comes back and takes care of that situation? How long? And that's what you folks are going through now. In my time as Mark, what we were going through was the situation, when will the Messiah come? And then when it appeared that the Messiah had come, they would say, he can't be the Messiah. I know who this guy is. He came from Nazareth. He can't be the Messiah. I know who his parents are. And they thought that. And so there was those, well, if he's not, what is he? What is he? Because I go to something and he heals people. How can he do that? And, you know, we had the church group, the Pharisees, you're familiar with the term, the Pharisees that were there at that particular time. And when we would go to some sort of event, and I'll tell you about a couple of them that I went to personally, and I'll tell you about one that happened after Pentecost at my mom's house. But when we would go to one of those events, and the man named Jesus would heal people, you know, it just like, wow. How does he do that? By what authority can he do that? But he does it. And everything seemed to be just a little bit different because the people who were with me, we were under the occupation of the Roman Empire. And so the feeling was when the Messiah comes, he is going to whoop these people and the Roman Empire will no longer be occupying our area. That's what we were thinking. A warrior, a mighty warrior was coming in. But the person who came in the form of Jesus was a very meek, mild person. And people just couldn't wrap their hands around it, couldn't understand. But here's an example of it. And I got to accompany them. And there was a couple of things that immediately come to mind. We went out on a trip. We were headed into Capernaum, and I was with the whole group, and we were all traveling. Jesus was, I had seen him heal people before that we knew were sick, and nobody else could do anything for them. And he could heal them. He'd say, walk, get up and walk, do these things. Well, we're going down the path towards Capernaum, and here comes a leper. Here comes a leper from the side, and then he gets on his knees, and he crawls directly over to Jesus on his knees. Well, let me share this part with you, because we're all wearing masks at different times, and we've been through a tough time. So here's what we were going through. If you were a leper, and you had to leave your family to keep your family safe, you couldn't live in the home. You couldn't have contact with them. Mask wouldn't help. You were isolated away. And what your wife would do is she would take food and she would put it in a designated area for you, and then she would go away, and then you would come and pick up your food. You could see your kids and you could wave, and they could wave at you, hi Dad, hi Grandpa, and they could do that. And that's all that they would be able to do. You couldn't have a hug. You couldn't go to any of their events. You couldn't be around other people. The lepers had their own little colonies sometimes, but not always. Sometimes it was you're by yourself. And so you've got a little spot out there. We could see over the tree line. That's where you, yeah, it's raining on you. It's raining on you. Man, I wished it wasn't. But we knew you were going to die fairly soon because you had the disease. Well, here comes a person crawling. And he's a leper. Everybody knows it. The rest stopped, stayed back. And Jesus goes up to the leper. And the leper is here. And he, if you want, you can heal me. And he said it in a nice way. And Jesus said, I do want. I want to heal you. And Jesus healed him immediately. And the man was just excited. And we just, how can this be? Who is this person who can do this? If this is the Messiah, when does he turn into the warrior? And we were all thinking that. And it was absolutely amazing to see, because he told the leper, he said, go back and show yourself, meaning go back to the priest and show yourself and that you're well, so that you can be certified to go back to your family. And the man was absolutely excited. And Jesus said, whatever you do, don't tell anybody. And the reason Jesus told him that was Jesus was coming into an area. And if people had heard about it, huge crowds would come in, and it would be difficult for Jesus to work to be able to do those things that he needed to do with smaller groups. And so he wouldn't be able to do it. So we had our problems with leprosy, and that was a situation we had to deal with. We go through it right now. I hear it all the time, and I think it frequently. We've got to be in the end days. I wasn't born in World War II, but sometime shortly thereafter. And so I had studied and I knew about extermination of the Jews and what a horrible event it was. And then it just seemed to just keep deteriorating and deteriorating. And so we're expecting to see the Lord come back at some point in time. All of us in my time as John Mark or Mark was of the same feeling. We're going to see the Messiah. And we did. But you know, the Pharisees, when he would perform something like that, it was always, and then there was whispers, well, how did he do that? And then they would, and then the rumors were, well, he's not doing it from God, he's doing it from Satan. He's doing it in that fashion. But there wasn't anything else that supported any of that. Well, in the second event that I went to, that I was at when this one happened, I told you how we were headed to Capernaum. And Jesus came into Capernaum the first time, and he healed lots of people. But he had to do it in a little different way than what he wanted to do. Because you remember I told you how he told the leper, don't tell anybody about what that you can tell them it was me, but don't tell them that it was me now. You can tell them later. And so by the time we got to Capernaum, the crowds were huge, absolutely huge, because they had heard about it. And they knew you. They knew you, and now you're not a leper, and now you're back with your family, and the kids can come and hug you, and the grandkids could come and hug you, and you could have that life restored to you that you wouldn't have had before. And people, how did this happen? And you told the story. Jesus did this. I had heard about him healing people, and that's why I went to him with the greatest respect I could. I crawled to him, and I said, if you are willing, heal me. And Jesus said, I am willing to heal you. Well, we went to Capernaum, and there were so many people that knew. The crowds were huge. So we went to Peter's house. And Peter was, you guys know who Peter is. Peter was one of the disciples and a very, very close friend of Jesus. And I got to know Peter later because I got to go on a number of trips with Peter. And so as we would be walking, Peter would tell me about stories, tell me about all of these things. That's how I was able to write the gospel. And I wrote the gospel sometime probably in 65, 64, somewhere along in there. You would call it 64 AD. And that's when I wrote the gospel of Mark. And much of the information came from my own observations as a teenager, right on up through what people said, walking with Peter, because I was an interpreter when we would go into different spots, and that was part of my job to do it. So I knew Peter and knew him well. Well, we were at Peter's house, and the crowds were huge. It was just a doorway half that size right there, and a roof that was about to where you see India, Japan, probably a little bit short of that. And the place was absolutely packed. The inside area was packed. It wasn't nearly this. The house was probably from here to here, a little more than that. And it was absolutely packed with people because they wanted to see, they wanted to hear. And Jesus spoke to them. And he had already done healing before in Capernaum because the crowd showed up, and so he addressed them. But this was the second time he was back in Capernaum. Because of what happened, so many people knew about him, he couldn't come into a town. It was too much chaos. So he would have a spot out in the desert area where people would go. You've heard the story of the 5,000 that were fed out there. Well, that part of the reason was there wasn't a community big enough to be able to handle that. And so Jesus would now have gatherings in the desert. And that was because so many people found out about him and what he did. But on that day, we were at Peter's house in Capernaum. And the place was packed. You couldn't get anybody else in. There wasn't any more room to get in. And outside the place was absolutely packed. And we didn't know it. I didn't know it at the time, but I found it out later. There was four guys that brought a friend in, and he was on, you would call it a stretcher. And they tried to get in, but the crowds were just, you know, they weren't moving. They weren't giving up their spot. They weren't being rude. It was just, there was just too many people. And so Jesus was talking to the crowd, and he was just sharing with them all of the things that, you know, that we would want to hear, because he's the Messiah. And many of us knew he was the Messiah. Didn't understand about the part, well, what about Nazareth? How does Mary fit in? Where's Joseph? How can he be this, you know, if people knew him? And he was a carpenter. And a carpenter in those days not only did woodwork, but also did stonework. And so he had other jobs and things that he had done. And so it was just like, well, how can this happen? But at the time, then he stepped forward and he was Jesus. And so as we're sitting there, all of a sudden there's a commotion, and Peter's roof starts opening up. And, you know, they weren't like roof like we have right now. There were some beams that were across, and then they would have palms. They would have other things that would be covering it. And so it started opening up, and stuff dropped in on people, and everybody just looked up like that, like, what is this? And then all of a sudden, here comes this stretcher being lowered down, and it's being lowered down and lower, and it gets down to the point, and the person that was on it was, he couldn't, you know, he was paralyzed. He couldn't, and we knew him. We knew who he was, and we knew the friends. And so as they dropped it down, and Jesus said, you know, about the faith of the four people who had done this. And He said to the four people and the person on the stretcher, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." And everybody just looked. And the Pharisees were seated there, and they were in the crowd, but they were pretty much gathered together, but still part of the crowd. And they began to mumble together, "By what authority does he do this? How can he say your sins are forgiven? How can he do that? He's got to be from Satan, because the only one who could forgive would be God. And so by what authority does this guy do this?" They never got it. It just didn't work for them. They had no understanding of what it was. And so Jesus knew what they were talking about, and his spirit knew. And so he said to them, "What is more difficult to do, to say that your sins are forgiven, or to tell you to get up and walk that you are healed?" And everybody was just looking at that. And he said, so that you will know that I have the authority from my Father to do this. Get up and walk. And the person who everybody there knew had been paralyzed for many years as anybody could remember, and the four people, four friends that were up above, were watching down. And he said, "Get up and walk." And he did. And it was like everybody, wow, this is Jesus. This is the person we have been waiting for all of this time. Everybody in the room got it. Everybody in Peter's household and standing outside of it, the word immediately went out. All of it was just like you had an announcer outside that was just giving that same information as it was happening on the inside. And everybody knew that was the Messiah. That's the person that they had been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years, and even longer. Your ancestors, my ancestors, their ancestors were waiting for. And there it was, Jesus. There he was, Jesus. And the Pharisees couldn't get it. They could, got to be something wrong here. It cannot be the Messiah. They missed it. And you know how that story all turns out. And it turns out that what happens is, of course, we go down the road and Jesus fulfills the prophecy and he goes to Jerusalem. You know that he is crucified and resurrected. And that story, I've seen the results of that story. I was at my mother's house in Jerusalem after Pentecost. And when all of the information came out about Jesus is resurrected and he's back, the Holy Spirit came upon people in that room. The room shook, just like we're in right now. It just shook. And everybody knew exactly what had taken place. And that generation had Jesus Christ. Christianity was born then. And it continues now, and it became worldwide and becomes worldwide. And you are part of the Christians. You are part of the Christians that were just like us at the Pentecost. And I'm able to share because my name is John Marcus, now known as Mark. And the gospel that you read is true. It is absolutely true, or it would not have been written. You take the history of it. What is the chance of one guy being born in Nazareth, and that turns out to be the Messiah, who turns out to be Jesus, our Savior? And some generation, whether it's this one with all of us, or the next one, or one way down the road, we'll see Jesus come back in. We will see it. Some generation will. It's just like the generation that was before Jesus was born. They just knew he was coming sometime, but they didn't know when. They didn't get to see it, but they knew and they believed. And then one generation got to see it, and that was part of Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, and all of those people. And we get to read their books, and we get to see it, and we get to study it, and we have the chance to either believe it or we don't. And in this room today, there's a whole bunch of believers in it. And thank you for leading the prayer. And Rachel, thank you for the music that you do. I'm going to have one song, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you. And we'll go. I think I gave a disc. Do you have it?
Can be prone to wander, too full of pride sometimes. I don't make